Good morning, everyone. Do keep that passage, open that last passage, or open it if you haven't got it. Page 1218, 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's pray together as we look at it. Our Father God, we come to you as your people this morning. And we pray, as always, that you would speak to us through your word and by your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. 3.5 years ago at St. Nick's, we started this 10 o'clock morning service. Many of you were here at the time, and you'll remember that we spent a long time thinking about changing our morning service pattern. There were lots of meetings and planning. And in the weeks before the first service, the launch service, I had a dream. I had a dream about the launch service. And it was a disaster. All sorts of things went wrong. The service sheets were full of mistakes and so on. But the main problem was that I turned up to church that morning to discover, this was a dream, remember, that West Berks Council had decided to reroute the A339 through the church, down the chancel steps along the main aisle, which made it very difficult to concentrate with all the traffic. And by two-thirds of the way through the service, everyone had left, and we had to finish early. Now, I tell you that because I was reminded of it this week, and because I want us to think this morning about what we should expect when we gather at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. What should we expect, thankfully, without the A339 down our main aisle? What should we expect? What are we here to experience? What is our purpose as we gather as the people of God at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning at St. Nick's? At least my service in my dream would have been a memorable one with all the traffic and so on. Many church services are, of course, much less so. In this week of a new US president, I was reminded of what a former president, Abraham Lincoln, once said about the church. I'm sure some of you will have heard this. He said that if all the people who ever fell asleep in church were laid end to end, they would be a lot more comfortable. What are we here for? Here to experience. Here to do. What should we expect? And with this question in mind, I want us to look at these verses from 1 Peter. These are well-known verses about the church. Verses 4 and 5, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. These verses are about the identity and the calling of God's people, the church. And they are, of course, about more than just what we do on a Sunday, morning or a Sunday evening. The picture is bigger than that. But I would argue that they relate especially to what happens when Christians gather together, as we do this morning. And I want to pick out just two things from this passage about our gathering. Firstly, presence. And secondly, praise. This is not a complete theology of everything about church, but two things that this passage teaches us. Something about presence and something about praise. Firstly, presence. The church is the place of the presence of God. The church is the place of the presence of God. Verse 4 and 5, as you come to him, you are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. This verse is full of the language of the Old Testament temple, a spiritual house with priests and sacrifices. For the Old Testament people of God, the temple was the place where God dwelt, and the place where men and women were able to approach him. The temple was the place where God dwelt and where men and women were able to approach him. And it's true, of course, that in the Old Testament, men and women could not actually get very close to God. The temple was a place of strict limits on access. You could come this close, but no further. It was a place where others, where the priests, had to draw close to God on your behalf, offering sacrifices for you. It was a place in the temple where God, in many ways, was hidden in the Holy of Holies, behind a curtain. But nevertheless, the temple was the place of God's presence. Where his presence was and where his presence could be enjoyed. The Psalms are full of the joy of the pilgrims, the Old Testament pilgrims, going up to Jerusalem, going up to the temple, going to the place of the presence of God. Psalm 122, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now, says Peter in this reading, something similar, only different and better, is happening not in one holy place, but in every gathering of Christians. Every church. As you come to him, verse 4, this is worship language. As you approach him, as you draw together with him in his presence, you are being built into a spiritual house. Not a building made of physical stones, but a place of people, living stones, where all are priests, a holy priesthood, all of us, all able to enjoy the rites of access to God's presence. And we know that is because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, once for all. The church is now the place where God dwells. The place of the presence of God. Now, of course, it is true that God is everywhere. The whole world is his. We must not confine him. And it is true, as Christians, that he is with us always, when we are together and when we are on our own. Never will I leave you or forsake you. But God's presence is made known, is expressed and experienced in a particular way when the church gathers together. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. Formerly, there was one place, one temple where God made his presence known, where men and women could approach him, but only so close and no further. But now, all over the world, in groups of Christians, two and three, tens and twenties, hundreds and thousands, where the church gathers, God is there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is here. We'll say that in just a minute in our communion liturgy. The Lord is here. We're the place of the presence of God, not this building, but us. And we're here to express and to enjoy and to encounter his presence. So, don't miss out. Either through your physical absence or your mental or spiritual absence, because if the church is the place of the presence of God, you never know when God is going to make his presence known in a particular way. When he's going to speak to you or call you or encourage you or use you, he is here when we meet. Now, of course, we can all testify to services where it has seemed as if God is anywhere but in church, where the sermon is bad, where the music is bad, where the PA isn't working, where the coffee is cold. I'm not trying to insult anyone here. But we all know those times where it seems as if God has somehow left the building. We are, after all, a bunch of human beings, and with all our flaws and failings. But as the church, we are where God chooses to make his presence known, to reveal his glory, to draw close to us as we draw close to him. So don't miss out. The disciple Thomas, doubting Thomas, he once missed out on a meeting of the fellow disciples. Remember the evening he wasn't there? And the risen Christ turned up. And he missed it. We're here to experience and to enjoy and to encounter the God who revealed his glory in the burning bush, on Mount Sinai, in the temple, and now chooses to do it in gatherings of Christians around the world through and in us, a spiritual house, the place of the presence of God. Firstly, presence. Secondly, praise. The church is the place for the praise of God. Verses 9 and 10, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We just said that the church is the house of God. It's the place of his presence. But now Peter says the church is the people of God, a people of praise. And the praise that he talks about here is praise in a particular direction. It is praise that is outward. We know that our praise of God has all sorts of dimensions. It has an upward dimension. We praise God. It has an inward dimension as we encourage one another in our praise. But here the focus is outward. The focus is on declaring God's praise to those on the outside, to the world, to those who aren't Christians, but to those who are watching and listening as we declare God's praises to them. Let me tell you about Henry. Henry was a man who'd not attended church since the enforced chapel services of his school days. But one day his wife Sandra decided that she wanted to take the children to Sunday school. She'd been invited to the church by a local school mum. Sandra went and she loved it. And within a few months, she found herself trusting in Jesus Christ. Naturally, so he asked Henry to come along, and reluctantly he did, and to his surprise, he too loved the experience. He couldn't put his finger on it, but something about the singing and the prayers and the preaching and the people captivated him. He says it was an hour of depth and solace. In other words, otherwise full and frantic life. He came back again and again. He soon found himself joining in with the songs and the prayers and finding that he really meant it. Christ had become real to him. The services that Henry and Sandra were taken with were not so much evangelistic events. They were regular services designed for the praise of God and the strengthening of believers. There were Bible readings and songs and prayers and creeds and preaching, all the things that have always been part of church gatherings. Henry and Sandra were eavesdroppers, as it were. The Bible tells us that when we, God's people, gather together as church, we should expect that there will be eavesdroppers. There always have been. The world is watching and listening to us. And people will join us for a whole variety of reasons, and they will be interested to see what we get up to when we meet. And Peter says, you are God's chosen people. He's called you to declare his praises to the world. And when he says declare his praises, he doesn't just mean in your lives through the week as you live for God and talk about him, although of course that is all true. He is talking primarily about what we do when we gather together, as we come to him, verse 4, to do all that we do together, as we welcome people, as we pray, as we sing songs, as we hear preaching, as we share bread and wine, we declare his praises to those who are watching. What we do on a Sunday is a powerful and effective way of evangelism. It has always been the case, being and bringing good news simply by being here. Churches always have visitors. St. Nick's has many. People are invited along by friends, or they come on their own. People who do not necessarily believe or aren't sure what they believe, but they come and they join us, sometimes just for one Sunday, sometimes for many Sundays. They come to take part, and they come to eavesdrop. And we get to declare God's praises in their presence. Let me tell you about Emma. Emma was invited to the baptism of the child of some friends of hers. The baptism itself was simply part of the regular Sunday service. It was sandwiched between prayers and Bible readings, songs of praise, a sermon, the weekly notices. Emma could count on two fingers the number of church services she had been to over the years, but she left the service struck by the spiritual feeling of it all. She came back the next week and the next and the next. Each week she said the same thing. Look, I'm not religious at all, but I like this. Eventually, Emma was invited to an evangelistic course, a 5-week walk through the life of Jesus. She came within a couple of months. This atheist was a passionate and vocal follower of Christ. It was ironic, she would point out, that something she would once have disparaged, the humble church service, was under God the very means of opening her mind to the gospel and irresistibly drawing her to faith in Jesus Christ. The church is the place of the presence of God. There is an intimacy about what we do together as we encounter God, but it is an intimacy that is being observed, if I can put it that way. The church is the place for the praises of God, and that praise is in an outward direction. So do you want to be involved in being and bringing good news to Newbury? You may not see yourself as an evangelist. Well, just turn up to church. Sing with all your heart. Pray with all sincerity. Love your brothers and sisters. Welcome newcomers. And you will be, we will be, declaring the praises of God. The stories of Henry and Emma that I've used are true stories. They're not from St. Nick's, they're from other churches. But we know here at St. Nick's that we have many visitors. In fact, just as I finish, perhaps you're a Henry or an Emma here this morning. And if that's the case, you are very welcome here. We hope you enjoy what you find. We hope that you experience something fresh. You are welcome to eavesdrop. We are here to enjoy the presence of God, to the preaching of his word, to the presence of his spirit. He is here. And we are here to declare his praises. We are his people who he has called out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray very simply that you would help us to be more and more the church that you would have us be. And we pray especially for our Sunday gatherings, and this one now at 10 o'clock, that we would draw close to one another and to you, full of expectancy and waiting to be used by you to declare your praises. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.